My name is Fred Dodsworth. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. And this meeting is being held on January 27th, and we're initiating our meeting at 5:32 Pacific time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
May 27th, not January 27th.
Oh, you know what? That's my birthday. And so it just automatically comes to mind. Okay, May 27th. Thank you. But it's
happy birthday, Fred.
Not for another 7 months. And then I'll be 75. So I'm going to start this meeting by saying a question has arisen about the role of the former treasurers during the meetings. Until further notice, this is the Pacifica interpretation of the policy. The former treasurers can ask to be recognized by the chair and enter into discussions on motions or ask questions during meetings. They will receive agendas and other financial documents. Although they cannot make motions or points of order or vote on motions for NFC meetings, they can request of other NFC director members to make motions or points of order, or they can make voting recommendations. Will the secretary take the role?
Okay, sure, here you go.
And if you would be so kind, Aki, note the guests attending as well. And when we include guests, we will include our LSB treasurers.
Of course. Okay, we're going to start off with the treasurer's office. Christine Alvarez. Tom Chase.
Present.
Linton Foddy.
Here.
Great. Steve Cookera?
Here.
Thank you. Paul Martin?
Here.
Thank you. Maida Deason?
I'm here.
Okay. James Hagerton?
Here.
Thank you. Dennis Williams?
I'm here.
Thank you. Michael Woodson?
Here.
Very good. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm here.
Okay. And then others, Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
And I'm here. Otis is here. Who's the other person on the line right now? Let's see. This is engineer or something.
Otis is here.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That's KFGX.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, so far as I know, there are only two items on the agenda, and they're both kind of interconnected. There's a request to put additional items on the agenda. At this stage of the game, the agenda is exclusively the ED report and the ED explanation of the WBAI budget. We had asked whether there were going to be members of WBAI who were going to be explaining the budget, but I've not heard that any of them are. And so, Stephanie, if you would like to, proceed with the ED report, I'd be greatly appreciated.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I move approval of the agenda, with the addition of minutes.
And everybody's received the minutes, so I'm going to assume that they've read the minutes and they have that there are no objections, and if there were, they would have been sent to the various parties. And having not received anything, as
our poll for suggestion, whatever it is, I would again ask. I think it would be good if people's full names were in there, so that at least in the future, people would know who we are, because there are enough people with the same last name that could be confusion. So I would just ask the people's. Not just having their surnames, but their full names in there. That's all. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can do that. I'll do that.
Thank you, Aki.
I agree. This is Myla. I agree. And I think it's really important to have full names at least once.
Well, it's somebody with the last name of Dodsworth. It really doesn't matter to me because not very many of us. Stephanie Wells.
Chair, this is James. May I be recognized?
You certainly may.
I want to register that I'm going to abstain from the approval of the minutes.
Okay. Any other abstentions from the approval of the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Stephanie Wells, the show is yours.
Thank you. One of the things that I wanted to share with everyone, there's been some emails that were started this morning, possibly yesterday, that were going around just regarding nonprofit status and letters that were pulled up that people pulled from the California Registry of Nonprofits, talking about that the Pacifica Foundation was going to be delinquent as far as our nonprofit status. I responded to the emails that people sent to me regarding that, and all of, also this information had been shared at the time that this letter was written with both the NFC and the PNB. But one of the things, just in case those emails come into your inboxes, is that one thing to note is that the letter that someone was referring to was dated January 21st, 2025, and they were discussing the being past due by 3 years with our taxes, and that we needed to have our taxes filed on by 30 days. Out of those 3 years, we had to have at least one of the delinquent 990s filed within 30 days of the date of that letter, which was January 21st, 2025. We had already been working on our taxes for 2022 and 2023. And at the time with 2024, we weren't even close to starting those taxes yet. And our fiscal year 2022 taxes were filed well before that 30-day date, when they were filed on February 13th, 2025. As I stated earlier, that according to the IRS, any organization that does not file for 3 consecutive years can automatically lose their tax exempt status. But as I said, the letter, and that also is a process I've been involved with organizations trying to get that tax exempt status back. I know it's different from, you know, organization to organization, but the IRS usually just doesn't pull that status right away. They give you a warning. They want to work with you, those kind of things. So as I said, that letter was dated, even though they the email came out today by someone. The letter was dated January 21st. Our taxes were filed by February 13th, which means that we were not any longer by that date behind by 3 years. When we filed that, we also filed and paid the annual registration fee, which was needed for both of, we had 2 fees that needed to be paid, and it wasn't any sort of late fee or anything. It's just the basic fee that needs to be paid. So for the state of California, we needed to pay to the Department of Justice $400. That's just the annual fee that you need to pay for a nonprofit our size. And we also needed to pay $50 to the Department of Law through with our files that we needed to do for the city of New York. So both of those were paid. And as I said to people that received that email today, I sent the information as to copies of the emails, proof that they were filed, copies of the checks for both the $400 and the $50, and attached that to the emails. And again, all of that information had been shared at the time with both the NFC and the PNB. So I can't tell the state when to update their filings, when to update their records. All I know is that from our side, everything is filed. We are very close to finishing the fiscal year 2023 taxes. We were just in conversations with the accountants today. So those hopefully will be able to be sent to Markeisha and myself within the next week. And then at the same time, we're still actively working on the audits for both fiscal year 22-23, so we can combine that in order to save money. And then we're also working on the, now that we've already finished our part for the fiscal year 2023 taxes and it's in the auditor's hands to complete, we almost are complete with the fiscal year 24 taxes. And as far as the fiscal year 24 taxes, we have already received a letter of extension by the IRS. That letter was received on the 14th of February. And they approved an extension for filing our fiscal year 24-990s. And so that, too, has already been in the works and complete and finalized. So just to quell any rumors that are going out there regarding us not doing anything with our taxes.
I want to thank you very much for explaining that issue. I also want to thank the person who sent the email out for being so deeply concerned about the well-being of the Pacifica Network. It's really glad to see that we are supported by people who care so much about us. Dennis, you had your hand up for a moment.
Answered.
Thank you. Our executive director, would you please continue?
Yes. The year-to-date budget and a projection of what's going, you know, what we've projected out for the remainder of this fiscal year for WBAI, was actually sent out to Fred and Aki and Bob and Chris and Markeisha on May 20th. So we did reach that deadline of sending it to the people that needed to disperse it out to everyone on this committee 1 week in advance. But for some reason, the budget wasn't sent out until just a couple of days ago. So
I will accept total responsibility that I did not notice that it had not been sent out to everybody, or I would have sent it out. I will make sure in the future.
And I didn't notice either because I don't always get those emails. So, you know, so we did make that deadline. The next budget that we'll be looking at is KPFT, and everybody will be receiving that on June 3rd to review for the meeting on June 10th. And then the next after that is KPFK, which we've already completed the KPFK budget, so we're well ahead of that. I just received that today to review over, and the folks at KPFK are taking a look at that to make any changes prior to sending it out to everyone. But everyone should receive that by June 17th with review on June 24th, and then KPFA will be receiving it to everybody on the committee by July 1st, and we will review it on July 8th. So again, as we look at these budgets, it isn't a matter of reviewing to the extent that we need to approve anything, because we're not here to basically approve it. What we're doing is taking a look at, let me go ahead and share the screen. Okay.
Trends.
So what we're doing really is taking a look at, projecting out, you know, what's been in the actual so far to date, even though this to date is in March. And then we are projecting out based upon what's happened over the first half of the year as to projecting what's going to happen for the remainder of the year. And then being able to, anything that's in the green that I'm pointing out here on the screen, those are numbers that can change. And, that comes with changes. As I said, the people at WBAI have already looked at this. We've looked at this in partnership with Markeisha. And as those changes come in, then we can update those numbers. And then as we update those numbers, that in turn changes, you know, the formula and the projection. So we can kind of see what's, you know, what we can futz around with, what do we need to work on if we realize we're not going to have a good fundraising, we didn't have a good fundraiser this time, or do we need to add another one, or the fundraiser was better than we thought, or there's a bequest that's coming in, you know, whatever that may be, we can then have an opportunity to make those adjustments. And so I do appreciate that we're doing this year with the National Finance Committee. I know that we have attempted to do this in the past, but we really haven't been able to take a look at the finances and make those adjustments and become proactive with how we look at the funds rather than reactive, and the year is over and we say, oh, we didn't make budget, now what do we do? And then one thing is, while this is happening, we're kind of getting ahead of the game, which is nice, because as we fill in all these numbers, and this has happened with WPFW, this one, and then it'll also, you know, with all the other budgets that we're working on as well, it starts to give us a little rough idea to pre-populate in a way what the budget will be for fiscal year 25-26. So again, this is not anything that we're voting on. We will take a look at this budget in more detail to vote for approval for the next fiscal year, hopefully in August and September. Because at that point, we will be done with reviewing what the actuals and the projections are, and then we'll have a better idea as these projection areas get complete as to what we can assume for the upcoming fiscal year. So even though when you look at this budget here, and I'm sure, you know, it's, if you go down to the bottom and you see that there is right now a projected loss for 25-26, we're not even looking at those numbers because that's just what the formula is right now. And we still need to make some changes. So we're not here to approve the budget for next year. We're just here to take a look at what's been happening and what we're projecting and to make adjustments. So for example, when we look at the listener support, which is line 6, starting at, you know, we're projecting out April, May, and such. I think that may be a little high with projecting out 90,000, but it is an average kind of based upon what we had done October, November, December, and January. But the station has had a good fund drive recently. I think they were very close to making goal. I think the fund drive is still continuing, but these are the numbers, as I said, we'll take a look at as we plug in those actuals, and then we can figure out, you know, are we going to reach that projected goal here or not? One of the things too is that we have mapped out some things for major donor income, which hasn't always in the past. We've seen major donor income here in October and September of 2024 of 227. That included a bequest during that time. And we don't budget bequests because you don't want to anticipate bequests, even if you receive bequests on a regular basis. We don't budget those because sometimes they can be held up in courts for quite some time in probate, but we don't budget those, and we just put those in once that money is received. But one of the things that we don't have a sponsorship, and we have a little bit of sponsorship income here, but what we've been doing so far is, because we haven't used this line item in the past, is that we have some of the sponsorship dollars that are going in here. So again, that may be a little high, but the major donor income, we've tried to break it down for, you know, like for example, in column C and D for prior fiscal years, we didn't divide up the major donor income from listener support, hence why those two cells are blank. And then this is basically a bequest. So what we're trying to do is, rather than lump everything into listener support, if there is a donation that comes in that is greater than $1,000, then we'll put it down here in listener support, as well as some of the gifts that are coming in that may not be sponsorships, but they're donations in support of the station that are coming in through different organizations or some of the unions. So the car donations, we've talked about this with the general manager, as to, I don't believe they were being coded properly because there's just blanks in the front. So we're working on just getting the coding done so we can pull those numbers if need be from the listener support. And then again, some general grant information that's put in here, anticipating again, just in conversations with different funds that have come in, or that we already know that the grant will be coming in for some of the programmatic support. And some of the funds too that have been raised at WBAI for programs and development and for programs and such have been also used to support. They kind of balance out from the income in and then the expenses for programming, because in order to develop the national programming that WBAI has been spearheading for the last year with the coverage of the Democratic Convention, the Republican Convention, election night coverage, and then also the ongoing program We Decide. We Decide is a program that we're getting information from multiple new stringers from our affiliate network. Sometimes as high as 30 or 40 different stations are providing stories to cover a certain topic. We're also getting support from KPFA, and they're providing us information as well. And then WBAI is editing it together. It's a 2-hour block, but we're editing it together in different half an hours and different elements. So as it goes on to where we can share our programming, the stations can pull those as needed. So I know that WPFW is providing information to us and using some of that programming, and KPFK is using the programming as well. So a lot of that money that's coming in, it's being sent out to help support any sort of the costs that the affiliates may have, and using it to support even some of our own stations that may have additional staff that's coming in to put those national shows together. Fred?
Yeah, I just noticed that the files that you're showing are not quite the same as the files that I have in my inbox. And I'm wondering what that's about and if you can explain that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what was in your inbox.
The WBAI FY 2025 budget draft _3_XLSF, which is an Excel sheet.
Okay. That was a budget that was sent out to, in early of last year or this year, I guess, when we were
trying to. I just got it.
Pardon?
I just got it.
No, I sent that.
Then I'm completely confused and I was not aware of that. Okay.
Earlier in the year, and I did talk to Steve today on the phone about it because he had sent out questions regarding, the comparison of that budget that was approved for WBAI for this fiscal year and how that compared to this budget and what the difference was. Okay. And so when we were approving budgets for all of the stations for this fiscal year, that was the budget that was submitted for WBAI.
So
he had some questions regarding what had changed. So then, we were able to actually just get on the phone and kind of go over, what that comparison was. So although that again was the budget for this past fiscal year, this is now the budget of our actuals to date, the projections for the rest of the year. And then, just as a bonus, how that's, feeding into the budget for next year.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that question. Mm-hmm. I did notice, and I do have a question about this, although actually Art Paul's got his hand up to meet Mr. Martin.
Yeah, now I'm unmuted. Okay. I have some questions on this. So I'm kind of surprised that BAI management isn't here. I had been thinking that BAI management was going to be here, and I even mentioned it to the interim general manager. So I'm kind of surprised that he's not here to represent some of this. I think he'll have some things to say that might clarify a thing or two to people, but I don't want to speak for him. And I do have some questions about some of these documents. I have all of the, I've been looking at the, thing that was sent out, yesterday, of the, thing that's supposed to be sort of a preliminary FY26 budget and all of that. And it shows, could I go over these discrepancies now or should I save that for later?
Well, the thing is, Bob had something come up with his family and he and I chatted this afternoon. We chatted this morning about this for the meeting tonight and then we chatted this afternoon. He was unable to make it. But we're not discussing or plan, we can discuss it, but we're not here to really technically look at the budget for 25-26 because again, this is just being populated based upon the projections for 24-25, which is then going to make it easier when we do create the budget to be approved for 25-26. We won't have to go back and say, okay, what did we project? What were the actuals? We're working on them simultaneously, so it's going to save time that when we can and when we start approving the budgets for next fiscal year, we can get through all 8 divisions in August and September. So we can look at these numbers all we want, but we're not here to approve that budget. We're here to look at what WBAI and all of the other stations and divisions are doing to date and how we project it to the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. Yes, I understand that we're not approving it or anything. I did want to note, however, that I have the BAI budget that was passed. I have the other thing that was sent out today, the preliminary budget, which contains various amounts from last time, and I have up the FY24 actuals that we got months ago. And I'm going to note that between the FY24 actuals and this what's supposed to be the actuals in the preliminary, there's an $89,000 difference between those two. That the WBAI, FY25 budget showed, $1.2 million for listener support. Also it showed, for total revenue, the FY25 BAI budgets showed about $1.4 million, but we have FY24 actuals, for all of FY24 showing only $793,000. And yet the preliminary budget part there, it's, past, actuals, I suppose, show 1.1. And so I'm wondering how some of that is happening here.
I believe that what would be, as we've gone back to reconcile bank statements, which includes, all I can say is when we look through the emails, as I get copied on a lot of the emails, as we go back and forth between the stations and Markeisha and her team on reconciling bank statements and donations, is that often, and we're trying to kind of break that habit at a lot of the stations, is that when donations are put in, they're just kind of clumped as to one big donation, either that's it's on one, one deposit slip, or they are done via automatic with your phone that you can e-deposit. And then we are just told, here's, $200,000 that was put in a donation today. And so then that gets listed as listener support, $200,000. But then as we go back in and reconcile the bank statements, which we've been spending a lot of time doing, it has opened up a lot of things of, okay, well, yes, you had a clump donation of $200,000, and it's not just WBAI, but a lot of the stations do this. And I even fall prey to it sometimes when I'm making donations to the national office. I have to break them down rather than just telling Markeisha I donated this, or deposited this today. And then once we go through, we say, okay, what was this actual donation for? Was this listener support? Was this part of a sponsorship? Does this ring a bell? And then they have to go back and cross-reference that into Allegiance and the donor database. And then a lot of that involves recoding. So there is some sort of movement that's around once we dive deeper into it. And I am hoping and anticipating, because we are getting into this habit now of getting caught up on all the reconciliation of revenue and expenses, which every single paycheck needs to be reconciled as well with our payroll company, and then also the bank statements. It's very, very time consuming. I am not an accountant, but even as I'm reading through these emails, I'm unaware of how much time this actually takes. So I'm hoping that this exercise this year will get us in the habit of being able to do a better job of monitoring and actually coding where each deposit and expense goes, and we won't have so many discrepancies.
Okay, so this is the problem we've had a lot of times in the past, where it's a it's that lumping thing, which we've seen before. And I guess it's also sort of coding. Can I bring up one small thing about your projection for FY26? And it's on, let's see, it's on the tab about project, what is it, tab L? Oh, line 13. Column E seems to say that's being projected that $500,000 will be raised in 15 days at one point in FY26. I think that probably needs to be looked at a little, closely.
Is this in assumptions or?
Oh, yes, it's in assumptions.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, as we sit right here in the top, management participation is needed to finalize this preliminary 2025-2026. So these, again, we are not, we'll definitely take a look at that. I'm not saying that we won't, but we are not here. Okay, now where did all my stuff go? We are not here actually right now to take a look at, why is that out of the way? We are not here to take a look at, oh, now I've really messed it up. Are the budget for 2025-2026. I'm extremely happy that we have that. See, now I don't even know where my budget is. Sorry. I'm extremely happy that we have, that projection that we have the ability to be looking at right now and sort of preloading the 2025-26, but we're not looking at the 2025-26 budget right now. We're trying to make sure that we have the assumptions, the actuals, and the projections for this fiscal year, that we understand those so that it makes it easier to create that budget in 2025. Because we don't even have in the budget right now for the 2025-2026. We're still having rent for the building at WBAI at $5,300. We're able to negotiate that rent down to $2,500. So yes. Even that right now is wrong.
Paul, we're going to let you take a break and move to Steve.
Okay, I just wanted to bring up that 500 grand part there. And okay,
I'll make note of that to see what that is. But we will have many more discussions.
And before we actually go to Steve, what can we do, Stephanie, to give you the support you need to actually get this stuff? I mean, when you're talking about going through the register and reconciling everything, I know how much work that is. And I know that that is probably work that would be better done by someone other than Markeisha and yourself. If we had the wherewithal to hire somebody to help us bookkeep our finances.
We have hired two part-time bookkeepers. So we do technically have in the business management division of the national office, a total of two full-time people, one full-time in Markeisha and then the two full-time two part-times that were brought in specifically to focus on, these budgets.
Okay.
And to try to then allow so they could try to get ahead of all the reconciliation that needs to happen, getting the individuals at the stations that are working with the money in and money out and the bills and things like that, to get them in tune to working closely with the national office, many kind of explaining to them how budgets work. And it's no offense to the staff, but we have people in membership departments that are working budgets. We have people that are, our website people working on budgets. We have some stations where it's when we ask them to forward the bills, how do they say, oh, well, if we don't have the money for the bill, we just throw the bill away. So it's kind of like retraining people on this is a company. This is how we have to kind of work with this. And everybody's been extremely open and helpful. And they're working strictly with these two bookkeepers that we hired. Hence why you see that the spreadsheets look totally different from how we've submitted budgets in the past. These are when they first sent one to me, I was like, oh my God, this is a lot. I'm not an accountant. It had to follow through. But it's a great learning experience. It's a good exercise for all of the stations to see these budgets and get used to what it is that we want them to do. That is helpful. It would be wonderful to have, three other people, because once these are done, Markeisha has to review it. Then they get sent to me. Then we go over, with the general managers and whoever their budget person is, while at the same time, we're working closely with our outside accounting firm to finish off our taxes and then to do the audit. So we know that even with the taxes that we've already filed, we've already told the IRS we will probably have to make some adjustments. Once we kind of see everything completed and we've done the audit, then we most likely will have to do an amended, filing, which is fine. It's not going to be anything significant. Businesses do that all the time. And we're going to most likely have to do the same thing when we file the 2023 taxes pretty soon and probably the 2024 taxes by August. So
you're doing a yeoman's job. The question I asked is, what can we do to make this a little more financially responsible?
Well, I think it's very helpful, like when Arpal pointed out certain things, like, look, what is this? You know, because numbers all start to look the same after a while. So to kind of flag things that look wonky, you know, flag those things and let me know. You know, Steve had a bunch of questions, so he called me this afternoon and we went through it line by line and whatever questions he had so I could answer those. You know, and that just kind of helps me understand what people aren't understanding, and it helps give me a clarity as to, oh, this line, this cell looks weird. Let me see what I can do to fix it. People make mistakes, you know, and so that's really helpful to be able to look through these with a fine-tooth comb. And my ultimate goal then is to have a budget narrative that's attached to all of these. So as we enter into approving the budgets for 2025, 2026, we will have a narrative and we'll try to make things. Some people have wanted pie charts. So, you know, we'll turn that spreadsheet into a pie chart if that's easier for people to understand, you know, but we just have to get through this part first. But yeah, just taking a close look at it, raising questions, and then pointing those out to me so I can dig a little deeper as to what it means.
Well, to dig a little deeper, Steve, you have questions.
Yeah, well, I think I might have answers. Arpal jumped between the budget from January into now, and there was a large dollar discrepancy. In the initial budget, somebody believed that we would get $12,500 a month in miscellaneous other income. And then when we show the current budget and the actuals, the miscellaneous income isn't $150,000 or $40,000. So that might be the discrepancy that he's concerned about. We don't and aren't getting $12,500 a month in mystery money, free mystery money. I did have a question about the major donors, or I don't see any actuals in the major donors. I guess that's line 10, and 11, and then we suddenly start 40,000 or thereabouts. So I'd like to know how we rationalize that.
Again, that's kind of breaking down what originally was thrown into listener support and really asking the stations to divide that up rather than throwing everything into listener support dollars is determining what constitutes a major donor. And that's a bigger picture too that Pacifica needs to look at. We have to state on our 990s, any donation that is large, any nonprofit, any donation that is larger than $5,000. And that's kind of the average across the board major donor. Pacifica often will call it $1,000 or more. So again, is that a major donor that gives $1,000 at one time? Is it a major donor that pledges and they make a total of $1,000 over the year, which then technically would move from listener support to major donor support? So is it a one-time gift, a pledged gift? So these are things too that would be helpful to have the National Finance Committee figure out. But that's the only thing is that we pulled out from the listener support line any gift that was $1,000 or more.
Right.
Well, I don't understand where we got the 40,000. I didn't hear that answer.
You know, I would have to ask to see how they figured that out, because they might have easily, when this was done, this is a bequest that came in, which is the E11. So this most likely is from gifts that we know that are coming in, and this was most likely just rounded up or rounded down. Gifts that we know that are coming in through, that aren't grants, but are from donors or organizations that are making a donation that isn't a sponsorship, but a donation.
That's in the assumptions?
Possibly.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
I'd have to go through and take a look at that. But again, perfect. I will ask where those dollars, where that came from.
Susan Young, please.
Yeah, it seems as though
A lot of progress is being made in essentially in rationalizing the way that we have been accounting for at least our revenues. And I know that there have been differences station to station, and it appears that we're bringing some uniformity, which I think is really good. One of the questions that I have is, can you come forward with an estimate for us to look at for the national budget to basically upgrade our financial management capability? I mean, one of the questions that I have is Great Plains a help or a hurt? I understand that changing from one platform to another is expensive and difficult and time consuming. So working with what we have now may be something that needs to continue for some period of time. But I would really like to understand what we would do to build this capability. You know, I think the fact that it's you, Markeisha, and two half-timers is pretty amazing, and we're doing, you know, 2 years worth of audits and catching up. I think all of that is a big workload. But if we were to try to really upgrade ourselves, invest in this, I'd like to hear, and you probably don't have it right now, what your recommendations would be.
I would love to get rid of Great Plains. And even though we paid off Allegiance, I'd love to be able to get rid of that as well. I think both are way too complicated for what we have. And it's a very difficult learning curve. There are some stations that are using, you know, Allegiance beautifully. KPFT uses it to its max. But they have a person that is dedicated to that, and we don't really have that, at the other stations, but we have made a request to our auditing firm, if they could recommend even just the top 5 or 10 systems that would work for our company and that interact with our donor database, that, you know, because there's so many elements that have to talk to each other, money coming in, money going out, connected to our thank you gifts, that automatically send out tax receipts, you know, so there's a lot of working parts. But I will try to push them on that more to see if we can try to figure out how long it would take and what it would cost and the realities of being able to switch to more modern and easier software systems.
Both for Great Plains and for Allegiance, for both of those functions.
Correct. And those may be the best ones for us, but we need to upgrade Great Plains. And I think actually Great Plains might have been sold, recently. So we're not even at the most recent upgrade on either of those, but we don't have the money to even just bring them up to the latest version. It's not as simple as, you know, your phone updating overnight.
Mr. Chase, can you unmute?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for that report and the continued progress you all are making with improving the reporting. My question is not specific to New York. Maybe it would have been more appropriate on your earlier report, but it's about in-kind services and or what might be called non-financial contributed assets. We've had an opportunity where we had a donor, pay for someone to do social media work for WPFW. It's about $50,000. And so it kind of raised this question, like, shouldn't we reflect that somehow? Like, the money isn't passing through us. The donor is paying someone directly, but they're producing social media product for the station. And so I kind of, you know, looked into it, and there's a new FASB rule as of 2022 related to accounting for in-kind services, particularly of that sort. But it also makes me think, you know, and I think that addressed it a little bit as well, the volunteer hours that Pacifica benefits from. I mean, most of our programmers are volunteers. They put in, you know, I don't know, 3-4 hours a week. That adds up, 24 hours a day, right? I roughly figured it's probably on the order of $200,000 for WPFW. And that's without, if you put burden on it, I figured $25 an hour. So I don't know if you're looking at that in terms of the ongoing audit, if it's discussions you've had and discarded the need to look at in-kind contributions and accounting for that. But it seems to me it would make a very compelling case when we go out to solicit funds to show how those funds are being leveraged against all of the non-financial contributions that Pacifica receives. That's my comment. Thanks.
Yeah, and we have looked at in-kind because they aren't being recorded the way they should be, including just volunteer hours. And that opens up even sort of a bigger question when we enter the elections world, you know, and we have to figure out who's a volunteer, who's not a volunteer, you know, how many hours are they working, what constitutes a volunteer, that kind of thing. And as far as in kind, well, for example, I know what you're talking about we've had the conversations regarding the in kind gift. The donation it wasn't really technically a donation. We were kind of asking the donor at that point that you were referring to, it could be a tax deductible donation. If it was given to Pacifica and restricted toward that, then it would be a little bit easier to be able to then also use that as a revenue, and it would just balance itself out in the revenue and the expense line. We're doing that with WBAI because we received we didn't receive the donation, but the donation was given to the people that manage the building for WBAI, which is a nonprofit, to cover 6 months of WBAI's rent. So we want to make sure that that is reflected as an in-kind donation, and also to budget it out so it's just a wash across the board. But we do need to have, better accounting of what those in-kind donations are. I mean, and they have to be specialized skills. So obviously all of our programmers do have a specialized skill. And so they have to, whether they have to be provided by individuals with those skills, which of course all of our people do have those individualized skills. And we have to estimate the fair market value. So if it's something that somebody is providing to us that is different than what we normally have, or we haven't had a person like that before, we would have to ask the donor for the documentation and invoice or a rate sheet as to what that market value would be, and then work accordingly. You know, and if we don't have that market value, then we would just kind of use the Bureau of Labor Statistics or Guide Star Valuation Guides or something like that. And then we'd have to kind of appear, as I said, we'd have to record it in both the revenue and the expense line. So we'll be adding that line in particular to the WBAI's budget moving forward to make sure that we keep track of the rent that has been paid. But we'll do the same thing.
So, then you're on top of it, yeah. I guess is the answer.
I'm going to go Lyndon and Myla because they haven't spoken yet. But before we go there, our Paul did bring up a issue that I thought was kind of important, and that was the participation of the IGMs. Is that possible that we could have them at least for a small period of time for these 90-minute meetings? Maybe even only just, 45 minutes of it. It would be really helpful if we could hear actually from the IGMs or the GMs as they become GMs, what the finances are. I'm going to go to Lyndon now because he hasn't spoken, and then Myla.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
When you first started going over the listener support, you said like this was through March, but we only have numbers through January. So I just, that kind of threw me off.
Me too.
And so we really, I mean, how difficult is it to get, your revenue numbers?
Again, that's a question that I will ask as to why those two columns are blank.
Okay. All right. That was, I took, for what it was worth, but then you said something about having February, through March, but there's nothing there. On the positive side, I saw that the average was $123,000 a month for the 4 months that we have. and that's 492,000. And the expenses that are listed are, I think, 302,000. Yeah. So that's a, you know, great story. $190,000 positive. Mm-hmm. So are those expenses, how much, you know, do you believe those expenses are accurate? Are we really $190,000 up through January of 25 with a WBAI?
The expenses are very accurate. Those we have better record for because the expenses go through any bill that comes in.
Right, right.
Goes through the national office by being sent to a certain accounting at Pacifica.org, and then, you know, a PO is assigned.
Okay.
Let them know how things are being paid.
So, the other thing that stood out to me was on the tower rent and tower rent admin, which is, like line 78 under administrative expense, line 78 and lines 82. And, so it looks like maybe something's been misplaced, in the original budget. 'Cause then we go down to, lines 110 and 111 under programming expenses, and we have tower rent, and which, you know, doesn't seem unreasonable, but the utilities for the tower seem pretty staggering. So there we've got, you know, tower rent, we're showing in two different places what tower rent admin means. I have no idea. Things just aren't clear.
The tower rent bills are broken down by, and let me see if I can pull one up. The tower bills are broken down by how they send us the bill. So there's more to, let me try to look up to pull up a bill and see if I can put it on the screen real fast. The bill, here's a bill from September. So we break it down according to how they break it down. This is, let me pull up an older bill. Let me stop sharing my screen and then I'll share this screen.
I want to note that Christina Avalos has joined us. Thank you, Christina.
Okay. This is an older bill just because, I just happened to be the one that I pulled that was the most current, not the most current, but it's one that as I was going through my files, I found. So this is, you know, as you see, the bill is broken down to the antenna license fee. Then there's a condenser water fee. Then there's a metered electric fee. Then there's a loan repayment. I think that might have been, you know, so the bills break basically are broken down into these like sort of three elements.
Okay, so the loan repayment looks like it what was in the administrative section.
Correct.
And in the antenna license fee, that looks like it was in the programming, but then you have that utility.
Is probably the metered electric.
Well, that's not even close.
Yeah, so no, let me see the next page. Yeah, so they're working, you know, they're working off of the bills we receive. There may be another 4TS bill that gets sent to the national office that I'm not privy to, that I don't see, so.
How many, would you scroll on that again so I can see these antenna license fee of $13,000?
Yes.
$14,000?
Mm-hmm. Let me get out of the editing mode.
And so are we still paying that?
We are behind right now. We talk with 4TS on a regular basis. I think the amount that's owed right now is 120. I think it's 120 something, and we are awaiting a bequest that should be coming in to WBAI. It's going to three separate nonprofits, and we filled out each nonprofit, needed to sign a certain thing, get it notarized. Arthur's been dealing with it. He's been on top of it. He's been on top of it. commitment. Everything is our side. Everything is done. One of the other nonprofits finished their part, and we're waiting on one other nonprofit that still needs to sign and notarize their section. And then once that's done, then that's presented to the probate court and the money comes.
Right.
So we've been talking to, the Durst company on a regular basis every time we get any sort of update from the lawyers and any emails from Bob and from Arthur. We send those off to Durst so they know exactly the amount of money that's coming in, where we stand, and when we hope to pay them. So they've been extremely, patient with us.
Okay, so
we've done everything we can on our side. Arthur's been on top of it.
Okay, so I guess
on top of it.
Yeah, so I guess on the it looks like column M, line 78, tower rent admin of 9,000, which showed was zero, is not had nothing's entered through from October through March. That 9,000 that would correlate to the 9,000 that was paid there on the 4-1 of 24, and the remaining part would be that 4,000 which you had, which was due on that very first line. And so we should be seeing like $13,000 a month.
Yeah, but I think our process is to actually indicate what we pay rather
than. Right. Yeah. So accrual accounting. In
correct.
The past.
Accrual
yeah.
accounting. Exactly.
So, well, if we're $192,000 up, why haven't we paid this? and it still doesn't explain $6,000 a month in utilities. Okay.
With the tower?
Yeah.
I'll get a better breakdown. Let me write down. I have my questions from NFC. So better breakdown.
And I'm assuming license fee is actually just a fancy word for renting a slot on the tower.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, between the 9 and the 4, which are on two different lines, that will come up to, or 4, yeah, the 4,500. So that kind of covers that 13 for 14,000.
Yeah, we have this added to this.
That came up with 19,500.
And then this and this. Yeah, we have, if we look down here, the sum of those four cells is 20,020. That was tower rent, utilities tower, tower rent admin. Oh, I added rent and lease of equipment, so that doesn't it. So yeah, so you have that one plus this plus that, yeah, 19,500.
Yeah, that in utilities, that looks awful high, but.
I mean, wouldn't that utilities be the electric bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you saw that metered electric on that other thing. It
wasn't
near $6,000.
Or something. It wasn't very much, was it?
No. Anyway.
Myla?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Stephanie, and all of our, everyone on the committee. Tom Chase opened up a discussion that I think is really important. And, Stephanie, I believe we had a conversation a while back about how Pacifica would benefit from being able to calculate and put our in-kind donations, include those into the budget, more of them than we have been including thus far. And, you know, Pacifica benefits from and relies upon a tremendous amount of volunteer labor. I remember talking to one of my favorite programmers many years ago who produced an extraordinarily, an amazing show. And he told me, he was an academic, and he told me that for each hour, he had 1 hour a week, and that he usually put 20 hours of preparation into that 1 hour program. And I know that working with Harvey on California Solartopia, you know, I for a weekly show, I probably put a good 10 hours at least of research into our 1 hour show. At least. And, you know, there's coordinating with guests and all kinds of things that happen outside of that 1 hour. And so I'm hoping that we can come up with some kind of a formula and a survey of how much actual time, volunteer time that can be credited and can be, placed in our budget so that, we have a more, realistic, you know, a realistic estimation of the value of all of the extraordinary, volunteer work that goes into making Pacifica, what it is and can be. And, there are a couple of questions that come up, that are kind of questions for both, elections and also for national finance. Because I remember, during the last election period, I talked to, some people who produced, 1 half hour, a week of, healthcare related programming. And I was running, so it was a while back, I was running and I was asking them to vote for me. And they told me that they hadn't been included as staff, volunteer staff because it was only a half hour a week, although, you know, they were putting a lot of time into in actual preparation. And it's problematic, in that if anyone who is on the air for a half hour decides to run for one of the, staff positions that will be opening up in the election, so next year, that they would be precluded from being on the air during the election period because of our election rules. It's important to have those rules, because their volunteer time had not been calculated. They apparently, to somebody's calculation, not theirs, hadn't accrued the 30 hours in the preceding 3 months that would have allowed them to have staff status. So those are things that have to be worked out by both people who are looking at our upcoming elections and also by the Finance Committee. And I think it would be a good project for us to think about and work on to see if we can really nail this down. And and Stephanie, I guess my question for you is, do you think that it would in fact benefit Pacifica to be able to calculate that and include it in our budgets?
100%. It would benefit us, because even if in-kind services don't meet the GAAP criteria, we do need to track them in order just for our internal budgets and our grant reports. Because it allows us to be able to reflect kind of that total cost and value of what the volunteers are bringing. And it shows also potential funders the full picture of the community support that we have. And then it also helps us as we plan for future, any sort of future planning and sustainability. Because, you know, what would it cost if we had all of these, you know, all of these individuals on payroll? And the volunteers should be, and Allegiance has the ability to do this, but I don't think it's really ever been implemented, is volunteers with their programming in particular, you know, need to clock in and clock out or provide us at the end of every month. This is what I did. These are the number of hours that I worked. And then we have proof and documentation. Not that we not are believing them, but we need hard proof and documentation of what they did. Then if there's any questions when the elections come around, we have, these are all the volunteers. These are their timesheets. you know, these are the volunteer hours that they worked, and this, for our sake, this is the value of having this person. You know, so we had over 980 programmers that we had to train for the FCC compliance, and we're still continuing with that training. So that's 980 people that some of them, we didn't even know where they worked. They don't even know they work for Pacifica, you know, or it's a volunteer that's been hired by a volunteer that's been hired by a volunteer to work on a program. We don't know who those people are. We need to know who those people are so we can thank them, so we can keep them informed as to what's happening with Pacifica. You know, so, you know, a great position that would be that would be wonderful to have on a national level is a volunteer coordinator who manages the volunteers, keeps track of, you know, volunteer applications. We're starting to roll out volunteer applications at WPFW. So it's expectations of what we expect from that volunteer and what is expected from us to support them. Are we providing programmers with what they need to succeed? And just, but, you know, we have to roll that out with over, you know, close to 1,000 people. You know, so I liken it to, you know, the Girl Scouts, that totally volunteer driven. You know, but yet they completely manage their volunteers. They know exactly when they work, what the value is. And it is extremely important with funders to say we have, you know, and I'd say that now we have 980 whatever support people that are volunteering for us. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And the dollar value of that is, you know, unbelievable. So
a quick follow up, you know, I'm thinking in terms of, because I was both a co-host and co-producer of a show, that, you know, that includes contacting people and arranging schedules and so on and so forth. So it, you could have some kind of a, like a rough estimate that, 2 hours in the week could be attributed to, figuring out, you know, just various components that go into the production of the show. And part of it is just as coordinating people and you, but so it's not necessarily a timesheet. Clocking in, clocking out, because, you know, sometimes you don't know when someone's available and then you have a phone call with them and you discuss what they're going to be speaking about. And, you know, it's in terms of precise clocking in and clocking out, it's not necessarily, feasible to be able to be that precise in terms of what I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Cause a lot of times it's just thinking. It may take, you know, you hours to figure out how to think something. But if you know that it takes approximately 10 hours per week to put together your 1 hour show, then we could get a monthly invoice per se, or a monthly tracking that says, this is the name of the program. This is the station that it aired. This is when it aired. And I put in 10 hours. It could be the same invoice or the same information sent every single month, but then we have a paper trail as to proof that this person worked this many hours. And not only is it eligible for, you know, being able to vote, but then it's also beneficial for us to determine what is that dollar value that we have from all of these amazing volunteers that are doing this consistently.
We need to move on. The other thing I want to say before we move on is you guys, you used the word volunteers hired volunteers, and that really exposes us to labor commission problems, and we really need to make sure that
There's some noise that's kind
of... Just trying to talk. Everybody mute who's not speaking.
Chair, before I mute, I want to make sure you see that my hand is up.
You get to speak next. I just want to.
Okay, me too.
I see your hands. I just want to make sure that we can actually hear James when he speaks. James, your opportunity is now.
Thank you, Chair. I think what we're seeing here is one of the difficulties in Pacifica, where we have so much rotation of people on these committees and in governance, where we get the feeling that we're talking about something new tonight, when in fact, you know, as chair of this committee, I can remember 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we were talking about the same subjects. For example, the in-kind donations and whether they are, well, of course, accurately calculated, and what that has on our administrative versus our programming expenses. And that has a lot to do with what don't think about when they look at you. It also has to do with what our auditors think about us. They say, oh, you're way too high in your governance and you're way too, you're disproportionate, but they don't have any knowledge. They don't know anything about how much in-kind revenue we have, if you will, through the donations, all of these 900 plus people who are donating the time to create our programming. And this is something that's,
do you have a question for 70?
This is something that's been discussed for 5 years on this case. This is not a new realization. And you see places like Charity Navigator, where they're looking at these relationships, donors look at that in deciding whether to make a donation. And, you know, if the balance was better, it would possibly loosen up some people to offer us stations. We also, I want to comment briefly on the utilities at the Empire State Building. Yes, that's mostly the electricity, and it's very expensive, and it's been the same for many, many years. Also, we have about the breakdown of listener support. We're catching up to where we used to be. We used to have a very detailed breakdown of listener support. We had sustaining donors. We had PayPal. We had bequests, all separated. And National Office started lumping that together into listener support. Out of WBAI, with former management, that was all coming out in a nicely separated way. That got lost. And now we're catching up to where we used to be. And that's good. So I'm glad we're catching up to that. And finally, bequests are not budgeted. I think Stephanie just said they're not budgeted because they get caught up in the courts and we don't know when we're going to get them. That's not why we don't budget bequests. We don't budget bequests because we don't know if we're going to get them from year to year. So the whole reason we're $192,000 ahead at WBI right now is because we had a bequest of $200,000-something, and now we have another one that's coming. So, you know, we cannot budget on that basis because we don't know if that will continue. We've had basically two donations, bequests that amount to almost $1 million in the past 2 years, and that's, you know, you can't count on that from year to year. That's all. Thank you.
Steve, do you have a question for our executive director?
Yes, I do. I think I was following up on Lyndon's stuff. When I'm reviewing this budget, you know, we get some actuals for listener support, but the central services has a sub-index says formula. So are we actually paying these central services or a portion of it? Or because it's listing the full amount, but it doesn't – I don't believe that's accurate on the amount that's being paid.
Is that your question?
All of the stations are paying central services. KPFK and WBAI are paying less than what their central services are, just based upon we want to make sure that there's enough money in their bank accounts. So WBAI normally would be paying $9,000 two times a month, so $18,000, and they're paying $14,000 right now. So it's very, very close. They were a little hesitant to making sure they had enough money in the bank recently, and so we opted to not take central services for the second half of this month to make sure that they had a little more padding in their bank account for some potential issues that may arise. I think there's some air conditioning issues, just some little things that we wanted to make sure that they had enough money to cover. So everyone is paying full central services, except all but two. So as I said, WBAI and KPFK, but they are paying something.
So I guess the answer to my question is, the 16,890 number shown is the desired amount, but it's not actually what we're paying. And the second part of that is I have listened to some of the, WBAI Finance Committee meetings, and I'm pretty sure the, management there wants to, pay some portion of the tower out of central services. Is that what we intend to do going forward?
Well, yes, but it's the central service payments are covering other things as well. It's not just paying a station's bills. We do use the central services, like we've been using the WBAI central service payments to pay for their health benefits, and to make sure that, so they are being used for that. But the bills for the tower or any of the station's bills that are budgeted are part of their budget, and that's what they are to pay. But if there are bills that need to be paid that they can't pay, that are need, that you need to pay in order to make the station move forward, the national office will pick up the tab on that.
Great. Art Paul, do you have a question for our executive director?
Now I'm not muted. Okay. Yes. Actually, mostly what I have is some reactions to some of this and some things, about it. Tower rent and utilities. It's complicated. There are two things there. That license fee, it relates to how the FCC does things, and the way you have to look at it, without talking about utilities yet, the as we call tower rent, you've got the FCC stuff, and you've got other stuff. One of the things you have to remember is you're dealing with Manhattan real estate here, and that's a very special thing. It is terrible. I will point out that one of the people involved in Manhattan real estate is currently in the White House messing up the government. So these things with Manhattan real estate could be terrible. So there's stuff going on. For utilities, yeah, a lot of it's the electricity. And, of course, what they do is the electricity comes in a basement, and it all comes in, and then they attach their own separate wire, and that's what goes to you, and they bill you at their own rate. So instead of paying like the electric company for electricity, you pay four times square for not only the cost of the electricity, but whatever VIG they would like to add to that. So it can be very complicated, and altogether it's in the vicinity of like 18 or more, well, plus over 18 per month is what the estimate is. In terms of in-kind, we used to do that years ago, and this was before anybody had anything about elections in Pacifica. In the 80s and 90s, staff used to fill out a form, and it was paper. And you would go around and you would say, okay, I did this and I did that. I think we did it for not every month or anything. I think we did it for like 6 months or something. You would fill out the form and say how many times you did what, and it would go in. That was very good for what we got then, which was Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. It really was important for that. And yes, it also showed up for other grantors. So now they've changed some of the rules, and it's more complicated now, I think, but it had an important effect to the bottom line finances years ago. Regarding the question of like some major donors and listener support, the interim general manager has told us that some of the union donations are looking like they're regular. They're not just like one shot, that's the end of it. It looks like they're regular. I don't know if they're monthly or every couple of months, but there are substantial donations coming in from the unions, which are going to have an effect. And so I don't know how that's being put on this particular spreadsheet. Again, this spreadsheet looks a bit different from some other things we've seen, so I can't tell about that. Let's see. Okay, I think that's probably it for the moment, but I'm leaving something out, but that's enough. Thank you.
I concur with your statement, R. Paul. I've talked to Bob, and Bob has mentioned that he's brought in at least $200,000 in union support for the network and for WBAI, and I don't see that on the bill either, or on the spreadsheet either, although the spreadsheet is not up to date, and so perhaps we're going to find out more about that later.
Okay.
Okay, looks like we are, Milo, okay, you're back.
I am back. Thank you, Fred. I just wanted to follow up. Thank you, R. Paul, for your mentioning how the union support is really an important part of BAI's budget. And I am wondering, Stephanie, if perhaps in your reports that you could include something in your reports for the whole, you know, to the whole PNB, something about the importance of looking at unions as partners going forward for Pacifica. And the reason I'm asking for it is because I have been encountering some people in governance who don't seem to recognize the important partnership between labor and Pacifica that going forward. So it would be helpful if it was mentioned so that people understood it. People were asking me for receipts. They didn't believe me when I told them that it really, it seems pretty basic to me that we should be working with unions and organized labor. Thank you.
Yeah, and in the ED reports that were sent during the election convention coverage and also the elections, I did list the number of the affiliates that were working with this and also the unions that had supported it. So I can plop that back, pull an old report, and plop that in an upcoming report.
Mr. Sagerton.
Thank you, Fred. Yeah, I just wanted to make a brief comment about the importance of getting the breakdown of what constitutes the lump sum of listener donations in some of these spreadsheets. And that is, you don't know what's working if you don't have a breakdown. You know, you've got sustainer donations, you've got PayPal, you've got stuff that comes in a website, you've got listener support during fund drive. You got membership piece. If you don't have a breakdown of that, you don't know what's working, and that's why it's important. Thanks.
Okay, we're 6 minutes from our time certain deadline. Is there any old business that needs to be addressed? Hearing none, is there any new business that wants to be addressed? Hearing none, may I hear a move to adjourn?
Just one thing. I think that we should hear from Christina Avalos verbally.
Yes.
Recording before we adjourn.
Christina, would you say hello? She may have stepped away.
Okay. Well, we all see that she's...
We all saw that she's here, and Aki will notate that she was here.
Great.
Now may I hear move to adjourn?
I so moved.
Okay. Thank you.
Without any objections, we are adjourned. And I really want to thank everybody.
At 9:55.
I really want to thank everybody for keeping us to less than 90 minutes.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Well done.
Good night.
Very happy about how this worked out.